Line, Willie D. Mace, 1025-1063, The Game and The Game Nashville app. We're live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studios, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. Our video streaming is brought to you by Superbook Sports. We are live out here at Pete and Terry's Tavern at Bridgestone Arena for the last time this season. The Predators season finale tonight, taking on the Colorado Avalanche tonight at 7 o'clock. Puck drop at 7 o'clock. Pre-game coverage starting at 6 o'clock on 102.5 The Game. Preds get a win last night in overtime. 4-3. A nice little Yusso Parson in 1-2 little trick shot.
It was nasty.
It was nasty. Filthy. And he knew it, too. He was feeling himself.
Hey.
Feel yourself.
Go ahead, young man. Feel yourself.
Talk your talk.
Hey, listen. You guys have, you know, went above and beyond what many thought y'all would after the trade deadline. So, you know, do your thing, young man. Do your thing.
Do your thing. Enjoy it. Enjoy it. Jeffrey Simmons' agent, Paul DeRussell, will join us in 1 hour. So we'll get his insight on exactly how the deal went down, some of Jeffrey Simmons' priorities getting this deal done, how the experience was working with Rand Carthon. So we'll get into all of that with Jeffrey Simmons' agent, Paul DeRussell, in 1 hour. But I want to start with this. Because it's not only draft season, it's not only mock draft season, but with those seasons also comes rumor season.
Yes.
Lying season. Yeah. Dropping little tidbits to agents and to the national talking heads in order to get stories out there, in order to make people think you're doing one thing and then you do something different. It is how do we, you know, it's smoke signal season, if you will. And there's another one. There was yet another rumor tidbit that was dropped yesterday from Adam Schefter on NFL Live. And I think that we all feel pretty confident, right, in 1-2. Carolina taking a quarterback. Houston Texans at 2. To me, I viewed that, like, the number 2 spot was the Houston Texans. To me, I viewed that as the Houston Texans are taking a quarterback. Because if they're not taking a quarterback, then who the heck is their quarterback? Davis Mills? Have another 2 or 3 win season?
Yeah.
But there could be a wrench thrown in all of that. Yes. Things may have been shaken up just a little bit. Adam Schefter went on NFL Live yesterday and dropped this bomb about the Houston Texans.
I think there's a lot of conflicting signals and information out there about what Houston is going to do at 2. And I think a lot of people have assumed it's just going to be a quarterback. And in the end, I'm just not convinced just yet that that's going to be the case. Now, I do think that we have Bryce Young slated to be the favorite number 1 Carolina. Then Houston's on the clock, and what does Houston do? And it becomes interesting if Houston decides to auction off that pick to somebody who wants to come up and trade for a quarterback at number 2, or whether Houston wants to go with a quarterback of its own, or whether Houston wants to go with one of the top defensive players. All I'm saying is I don't think it's a lock that Houston is going quarterback at 2. That's all I'm saying.
Not a lock that Houston is going quarterback at 2. Whoa. Your initial reaction, D-Mace?
You know, you just never know. With, you know, entering the draft, it's because you see a team in the Houston Texans and you just assume, okay, Carolina, we know they're taking a quarterback because they need one. And then you look at the Houston Texans and from our, you know, looking through our glasses, we think automatically, oh, they need a quarterback too. But Houston may be looking at it from a different direction. They got a new head coach who was more of a defensive-minded coach and coming from a system that prioritized defense first, and it got them, you know, to the Super Bowl with that defense. Beside, you know, regardless of how the quarterback played, we all know that a lot of times it was because of their defense that they were able to get as far as they did. Now, the quarterback situation in San Francisco wasn't bad, but it wasn't the greatest either. It wasn't like they had a franchise quarterback.
It was surprising.
Exactly. So they were able to do it sort of old school style, play really, really good defense, run the ball, and just don't mess it up from the quarterback standpoint. And that would at least get us to the Super Bowl. So when you're looking at the Houston Texans, who, by the way, not only did DeMeco Ryans come over from the Houston, from the San Francisco 49ers, but also he brought over, at the time, their offensive passing game coordinator, Bobby Slovic, Slowick. That's how you pronounce his name. Yep. So he's bringing in a system that was similar to the system in San Fran. And we all know that under Kyle Shanahan, anybody you put at that quarterback position seems to sort of overachieve in a sense.
Totally.
You seem to get more out of them than what another team may have gotten. So they bring over the pass coordinator from that team. He brings him with him. They're maybe thinking, hey, listen, we got two first-round picks. We need more than just a quarterback. We understand that the quarterback position is a position of need, and every team is fighting or jockeying trying to get their quarterback. But we're in a unique position that we have two first-round picks. Say if we like Will Levis, C.J. Stroud, and Hendon Hooker. Mm-hmm. Well, we can use our second pick in the draft and draft the best player. You got to remember, who's the head coach? D'Amico Ryans. Defensive guy. The best player in the draft overall, who? A defensive player in Will Anderson. It's hard to pass up a guy like Will Anderson because they, just like C.J. Stroud and Bryce Young, those guys come along maybe once every 5-7 years. Mm-hmm. A guy like Will Anderson is the same way. These guys come maybe once every 4-5 years. So if you got an opportunity to get a guy like that and you are a defensive-minded coach with two first-round picks all within the top 12, then you may look to, you know, go with the best player available that you need, which is Will Anderson. And then at 12, you might, if you like Hendon Hooker that much, then you move and you take Hendon Hooker with that pick, knowing that he's going to sit for a year. But I do believe Davis Mills, under this system, he will be a much better quarterback. He won't have the mistakes that he made because his thing was he was a good player.
Yeah.
He just threw too many interceptions. And we can say, well, he didn't have receivers to throw to. His offense was dismal, you know, so maybe that contributed to a lot of it. And maybe Houston is looking at it from that standpoint as well. Like, listen, we got a coordinator in here that we believe can help Davis Mills, and he can be their Jimmy Garoppolo, and they can have that defense they had in San Fran, which led them to a Super Bowl. So I can understand why, you know, potentially that is out there. Now, I'm not saying they will not draft a quarterback with the second pick, but I'm looking at it from the alternative.
I don't buy it.
I mean, I'm giving you both sides of it.
Totally. Uh-huh. And if that's going to come out, then when I first heard that, I thought, okay, so from Houston's perspective, what would be the advantage of either trading out of number two or not taking a quarterback at number two? Will Anderson is a generational talent. Mm-hmm. And D'Amico Ryans is a defensive-minded guy. I totally hear all of that. You're not wrong in any of those points that you just made. But I'll always go back to, then who is your quarterback? I looked at the Texans drafting Davis Mills. What was it, like in the third or fourth round?
Third round.
That was the first pick that they had in the draft. To me, I looked at it like, okay, well, we need a quarterback. Deshaun's not quarterbacking for us, so we just need a quarterback, and we'll just take the best possible quarterback available, and it's Davis Mills. Whenever they drafted Davis Mills, I looked at it like, this is just the quarterback to get you to the next quarterback, and if he works out and he's great, then wonderful. You found your quarterback of the future in the third round. I never saw the Houston Texans pledging their allegiance to Davis Mills because of the situation that they had with Deshaun Watson, with the lack of draft picks. So I think that they want to find that quarterback of the future. If I'm D'Amico Ryans and I'm looking at the head coaching positions with the Houston Texans being a revolving door over the last few years, I'm looking at it like, look, my job is not very safe for very long because the recent history would show me that Houston Texans coaches don't have their jobs very long. And what's the best way to make sure that your job is solidified, or the best way to make sure that you lose your job, is the quarterback position. So if I'm D'Amico Ryans, I'm looking at it like, yes, Will Anderson is a generational talent. Yes, trading back in the draft and picking up a solid defensive player, maybe a Hendon Hooker, maybe quarterbacks that don't have as high of a caliber as a C.J. Stroud or a Bryce Young. You can pick up more picks and continue to build your team for the future. But it's that quarterback. Mm-hmm. If you look at C.J. Stroud and you're like, that's our guy, or Bryce Young, whichever quarterback falls to number two. And these quarterbacks really are the quarterbacks that all of these NFL draft gurus are saying that they are. Mm-hmm. And you got to go for it. You got to get your guy of the future. You have to have your quarterback security, because as good as Will Anderson is, he doesn't play the quarterback position. Mm-hmm. He's not going to give you the same long-term security that a quarterback could get you. So I can't buy it. Just like when we heard the idea that the Texans weren't going to draft C.J. Stroud because of the agent.
Exactly.
He has the same representation that Deshaun Watson had. They don't trust Deshaun Watson's representation, which if Houston doesn't, I don't blame him. Mm-hmm. But I just don't believe it for a second that they would pass up on C.J. Stroud for that reason. And I can't believe for a second that they would pass up on the opportunity for a really talented quarterback and going somewhere else in the draft.
Well, yeah, it's hard to fathom that, you know, you are in a position at the number two spot to draft one of the two top quarterbacks in this year's draft. And if Carolina, you know, goes out and they get, you know, Bryce Young, are you that sold on C.J. Stroud that you're going to take him at the second spot? Or if they take C.J. Stroud, are you that sold on Bryce Young that you're going to end up taking him with the second spot? I know one thing they're probably sold on is that Will Anderson is a hell of a player.
Yes,
and there's no defensive player in this year's draft like him. Only guy that comes close is Jalen Carter. So to me, he may have convinced the owner and the GM that, hey, listen, I've been at a franchise where we had a good quarterback, not a great quarterback. We had a good quarterback, but we had a great defense and a really good run game, and that led us to the Super Bowl, or that led us to an AFC Championship game. He may have convinced them that, hey, listen, this is the route we can take. We are going to get our quarterback eventually. But right now, if you're talking about building a team, because they may look at it from this standpoint. We go get our quarterback. We have nobody around him. Our quarterback's going to be horrible. It may mess with his mental in a sense of him progressing as a quarterback. Or do we go out and build a team and then eventually get our quarterback, but knowing that Davis Mills, under this system that we have, knowing that in previous systems that I've been in, we've been able to operate without a quote-unquote franchise quarterback, and we've won a bunch of games. So maybe we can go down the road of building up our roster, because the roster's not good, mm-hmm. building up our roster, having Davis Mills as that guy for now, and then eventually going down, you know, maybe a year or two, or you draft a quarterback this year. If Hendon Hooker is still on the board, mm-hmm. you find a way to draft Hendon Hooker and you make him your quarterback. Because to me, Hendon Hooker projects as a starter in the NFL, a highly capable starter in the NFL that's going to win you a lot of games. Well, if that's the case, if I'm Houston and I'm thinking that way, well, let me surround him with a bunch of guys mm-hmm. and then get him with either that 12th pick or possibly in the second round.
I just have such a hard time.
I know, I do too.
I know. I'll go back to what you always see, D.
Yes.
Gotta get your quarterback.
Yes.
And another thing that I want to get into coming up next, if this is all just a smokescreen from Houston, mm-hmm. what are you getting at? Like, what's the point? And also, could that be the best possible thing for the Tennessee Titans? We'll get into that coming up next. And, of course, your thoughts. Adam Schefter went on NFL Live yesterday and said, from what he has heard, he's not quite convinced that the Houston Texans are going to either stay at two, or if they do stay at two, draft a quarterback at two. Do you buy it? We'll get your thoughts on that. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Caroline Willie, D-Mace, 1025-1063, The Game. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 1025-1063, The Game, and The Game Nashville app. We're live out here at Pete and Terry's Tavern for the last time of the season. Predators in action tonight. Final game of the season, taking on the Colorado Avalanche after a very fun win last night over the Minnesota Wild 4-3. Breaking this down, Adam Schefter went on NFL Live yesterday and said, based off of what he has heard, he's not totally convinced that, one, the Houston Texans will stay at two, or two, if they do stay at two, that they're taking a quarterback. Now, I want to know, is this really what Houston is considering? Like, I cannot for a second buy that that's something that the Houston Texans would actually do. So if this is a smokescreen, if this is just a lie that Houston's putting out there to, you know, get everybody off base, which that's what they do. I mean, general managers, coaches, like, that's what they do during draft season. It's all about lying and rumors, and it's a soap opera for sure. What are they getting at? Like, what's the point here?
And that's what I'm trying to figure out. It's like, it's almost like having a number one pick, and you're still and you're floating out there. Oh, we may not take a quarterback. Well, why did you move up if indeed, say like Carolina?
Right.
Why would you move up if now you're putting out, you know, we may not take a quarterback? Well, didn't you move up to the number one spot to take a quarterback? Uh-huh. Isn't that what everybody assumed? Isn't that what you led everybody to believe, that you were taking a quarterback at number one? And it's the same thing with Houston at number two. Why, if indeed these things actually came out of that building, why?
Yeah.
That's my whole thing. Why? Because it's not like you're – who are you trying to fool?
And it's
not like you got the fifth pick in the draft or something like that.
Where you could go either
exactly. way. You got the second pick in the draft.
And if Houston's trying to just see if there's anybody that would pick up the phone, like if Houston puts this out there and says the second overall pick could be for sale, are they just trying to pick up the phone and see what somebody would be willing to offer for the second overall pick?
Mm-hmm.
I could see that. Like, is there a team out there that's desperate enough to give us three first rounders? And they get three first rounders and a couple seconds or a couple of thirds for our second overall pick. If so, we think that that's more valuable than the second overall pick. I would disagree, just given Houston's needs.
Yeah.
But maybe that's the point.
But who would you be trying to get to move up to that third spot that would be willing to give up? Because, well, a second spot. Because in order to move up to that spot, one, you got to have more than just, you know, there has to be more than just one team, I believe. If you want to maximize what you can get in return for moving, you know, from number two to whatever number that is.
Right.
I don't think, as much as I love these guys, and two guys in particular, in Shroud and Bryce Young, giving up three first rounders, you know, I can't do that. I can't, you know, give up two first rounders and two second rounders and this. I can't do that. Why? To me, I wouldn't, especially if I'm like the Vegas Raiders. Why would I give up all of that to move up to the second spot? If I'm Indianapolis coach, you sit, what, at third or fourth?
Four.
Mm-hmm. Why would I move up to the second spot, give up all of that equity just to move up to the second spot where I can still get a quarterback that I like, because I may like all three quarterbacks, all four of them.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to give up that much to move up two spots to get one of the guys that I love, unless he's the only guy that I love, you know?
And they may have just tried to see, is anyone willing to do it? And if not, we'll stay put. But there are certain things that I just feel are very certain in the draft. Like, I'll go back to the 2020 draft. I don't know if there was an offer in the world that Cincinnati would have taken for that first overall spot, because Cincinnati wanted to take Joe Burrow.
Mm-hmm.
With Jacksonville in the 2021 draft, I don't know if there was an offer in the world that Jacksonville would have been willing to listen to trade out of number one and to basically give up on Trevor Lawrence, give up on drafting Trevor Lawrence. That's kind of how I viewed Houston.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I misread the situation, but to me, with Houston, with a new head coach, and they're trying to get younger, and they have an opportunity to draft what looks like is going to be one of the two, whether it's Bryce Young or C.J. Stroud, blossom into a legitimate starting quarterback in the league that looks and projects to have a long career as a quarterback in this league. Is there really an offer out there that's attractive enough for you? Unless there's something that I'm missing.
I mean, there is an offer that, because, listen, everything is for sale. Any and everything is for sale. It's just willing.
What's the price?
What's the price? Mm-hmm. Yeah. If I know what I paid for my house. If you come in and want to give me double that or triple that, I'm like, hell yeah, take this house. Matter of fact, you can keep the furniture too. Just give me the check.
I'll leave
tonight.
Get
me my clothes and everything else. I'll leave tonight and go.
But you can find another house.
Exactly. I can find it.
Can you find another quarterback?
Exactly. And that's the whole thing. if you're moving out of that second spot, then it has to be a, oh my God, trade, mm-hmm. where people are looking and saying, I don't believe they gave up that much to get to the second spot. Sort of like what I think it was Minnesota did to get Herschel Walker. Was it Minnesota getting Herschel Walker from the Cowboys or the Cowboys getting Herschel Walker from Minnesota? I think it was Minnesota getting Herschel Walker.
Minnesota got Herschel Walker from the Cowboys.
And they gave up a boatload. Exactly. They gave up a boatload. People were like, what do you mean you're giving up all this for this running back? And it turned out to come and bite. You know, Minnesota, they didn't get what they thought they were getting out of Herschel Walker.
And the Dallas Cowboys pulled off maybe straight in the history
of
the league.
And they took that, and they took that those transactions, and they built a championship team mm-hmm. with that one guy.
Right.
It has to be a trade that's similar to that, that you're basically giving up the farm to move up to the second spot. But I don't think no GM or owner in the NFL would be willing to do that with these guys. As great as I think they are, they're not worth giving up all that to move up to the second spot. Giving up all that equity just to move up to the second spot.
And if the Texans do decide to, let's just, under these circumstances, according to Adam Schefter, you know, not completely sold on the Texans taking a quarterback at 2. Let's say they stay at 2 and don't take a quarterback and they take maybe like a Will Anderson. Mm-hmm. I don't think that there's an avenue there where Houston could trade back and take Will Anderson.
No, because I think eventually if they can't move,
maybe
they would have to move too far back, I believe, because even at 7, I think somebody would take Will Anderson before the 7th pick, would be the Vegas Raiders.
And I think Will Anderson would be gone by then.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So if you move with the Vegas Raiders, Will Anderson's going to be gone by then.
And I would say the only logical scenario would be if Houston and Indianapolis flip-flop, mm-hmm. and then Arizona trades out of that number 3 overall pick to a quarterback-needy team. So it would be Carolina taking 1 with a quarterback, Indianapolis taking 2 with a quarterback, mystery team at 3 mm-hmm. taking a quarterback, and then Houston would be at 4 and could take Will Anderson. But Houston's not doing business with Indianapolis.
No, but I tell you this. If Houston decides that on draft day, that they're not taking a quarterback and they take Will Anderson, the frenzy will begin.
Oh, it is going to be.
Oh, my
floodgates
exactly.
are open. You know who's going to love that more than anyone?
Who's that?
Monty Austinfort.
Exactly.
Because he's going to say, oh, you're going to trade 2 first-round picks? Okay, on hold, please. Oh, you're going to trade 3 first-round picks? Okay, wonderful. On hold, please. Call back the other team and say, okay, they just offered me 3 first-round picks. How much are you going to get me? The Arizona Cardinals would cash in.
Exactly.
If there is a Bryce Young or a C.J. Stroud that falls out of the top 2, mm-hmm. Arizona is going to be set for years mm-hmm. with draft picks. But I do think that that would be the best possible scenario for the Titans. If
yes.
Houston trades out of 2, mm-hmm. that would give the Tennessee Titans an option to trade up to 2. But again, I don't think that Houston's going to do business with the Titans. So then what good does it do them?
Exactly.
Because then that team that trades into 2 will take a Bryce Young or a C.J. Stroud, and the highest that the Titans could trade up to is 3, leaving an Anthony Richardson or a Will Levis. Mm-hmm. It's just, I mean,
I love it,
season.
Though. Please do it. Please do it.
give me madness. Give me madness. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll get into some of your thoughts on that. Do you buy that Houston is either not sold on taking a quarterback at number 2 or is willing to listen to offers on the 2nd overall pick? We'll get your thoughts on that. Plus, another rumor that's floating around the Tennessee Titans draft buzz. We'll get into that coming up next as well. Caroline Willie, D-Mace, 1025-1063, the game. Caroline Willie, D-Mace. Hey, don't miss Nashville's best NFL draft coverage on 1025 and 1063, the game. Join us on location as we broadcast live from Wingstop, where flavor gets its wings, located at 3300 Gallatin Pike in Nashville on Friday, April 28th. So I want to get your thoughts on Adam Schefter's report, or tea, if you will, that the Houston Texans are exploring potentially not taking a quarterback with the number two pick. But I do want to get to this little other tidbit that was put out there on ESPN.com. So this was put out there by Matt Miller, who was one of ESPN's draft gurus. Honestly, I've never heard of him before today, but he does a whole lot of draft work. NFL draft analysts, you know, has his insiders as far as the draft goes. And this was an article about all of the rumors, the latest buzz coming out from each NFL general manager, NFL franchise. This is from Matt Miller. It says, this is what I'm hearing about the Titans draft. People I've spoken with aren't ruling out the Titans trading into the top five for a quarterback, but I would consider it a surprise. I kind of feel the same way.
Yeah, I do as well. They know there's a need for quarterback on this team because of the situation they're in contractually with Ryan Tannehill. One, you know, his contract is expiring. He's an older quarterback, not old, but an older quarterback. And I'm sure they're looking eventually to go in another direction. They're trying to find a way to get their quarterback to usher them into the next, you know, decade and a half, you know, especially with opening up this new stadium. So I wouldn't be surprised if they did indeed move up inside that number five pick. You guys know and girls know how I feel. Listen, do whatever you need to do, you know, short of selling the farm to get your quarterback, because we all know that, you know, either you winning and losing a lot of times dictate whether you have that quarterback or not, meaning winning a championship a lot of times dictates who has the better quarterback and who has the franchise quarterback.
Right. Like, it's definitely not off the table in the slightest for me. I would say that's probably one of the top three, top five most likely scenarios for the Titans in this draft. So maybe, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised, but it would definitely be kind of I would be awestruck for sure about, okay, what's going on here? Like, this is a bold move. So that's absolutely on the table. It says an AFC executive said, and this is again Matt Miller, an NFL draft analyst for ESPN.com, says everyone outside Tennessee thinks they'll trade up, but no one in the organization is saying it directly yet, which I don't think could come as a surprise to anybody.
I mean, they're not going to allow anything to – they're going to try their best to not allow anything to get outside that building.
Right.
So you heard Rand Carthon when he first got hired. Listen, we don't negotiate in the media, which means they like to keep everything close to the hip. And you will know when it happens. Just like we found out about Jeffrey Simmons' deal when it happened, even though they had been talking about it for a while, and we would talk to Jeffrey's agent pretty soon here. So I wouldn't be surprised if it did happen. I don't think it will happen until they see who's drafted number one. I think they will have sort of a parameter of what they need to move up as far as what they need to give up. But I don't think they make the deal, if they are going to make it, until they see who's drafted number one. Because say Carolina drafts Richardson number one, now you're probably more inclined to move up because you have C.J. Stroud and Bryce Young.
Right.
You know, still in the draft. So they are worth moving up to get.
Totally.
Exactly.
Right. The Titans might not even know if they want to trade up yet. It could be a draft day thing. They could still be evaluating these quarterbacks. I mean, they just met with Will Levis. I have a feeling that in those meetings, they wanted to, you know, see what kind of player he was, what kind of teammate he was, what kind of person he is, just to get a good vibe. So they might not even know if they really truly want to trade up yet. So that doesn't surprise me. But this is kind of the shocking thing. It says Tennessee is considering several positions in round one, and the most common scenario shared among NFL sources is Tennessee is staying at number 11 and aiming for a, do you want to guess? What position?
A receiver.
A pass rusher. But after signing edge rusher Arden Key and left tackle Andre Dillard in free agency, the team's biggest needs have been checked off, which could open the door for a trade up to secure a passer. Perhaps Anthony Richardson could be in the Titans' plans. Ryan Tannehill's turning 35 and had a disappointing 2022 season. I was surprised when I saw that, because if the Titans do ultimately decide to stay at 11 and they take an edge rusher, whatever edge rusher that might be, if that's your best player available, great. Mm-hmm. Then you got the best player at number 11. But to say that now, to say that they're aiming for a pass rusher?
That is...
not what I expected.
Yeah, it's not what I expected. And it, if they did make that move to draft a pass rusher, it would be shocking. Considering they have greater needs elsewhere. You went out and got young guys that you felt only needed an opportunity to start to be more productive with, than what they had been. Whether it's Al Shaire or Arden Key. These are two guys that you pinpointed in free agency. And your thought was, okay, these guys have played well, but if – but we project them as starters, which means their numbers are going to increase in our defense. They have more responsibilities within our defense, which will increase their productivity. So, to me, if you draft the edge rusher, it's almost like you're defeating the purpose, because then you go out and get guys that can rush the passer, and you got Harold Landry coming back. Now, they may be – this may be a sort of a security – for Harold Landry, because we haven't talked about this. Him coming off an ACL, mm-hmm. How will he be as a player? It's going to take him another year to be the player that he was prior to the injury. I am telling y'all this. If he goes out and gets 15, 16 sacks, I would be really surprised. I would be.
Pleasantly.
Exactly. But I think he will come in. They're going to have him on sort of a pitch count, in a sense, at least to start off. But I think he's going to be a good player, but he's not going to recapture that play that he had prior to the injury until probably the season after this one. I'm not saying he's not going to be a good player this year, because I think he will. But they may be thinking, hey, listen, we need some insurance just in case Harold Landry – is still dealing with, you know, some after effects of this injury. Because mm-hmm. We've seen it with ACLs across the board.
It wouldn't – if the Titans take an edge rusher at 11, then you – and if that's the best player available, fine. Mm-hmm. Then you have some insurance for Harold Landry. Then you continue to bolster up what you want part of your team's strengths to be. Mm-hmm. And that's being tough at the line of scrimmage defensively. I think this is a smokescreen.
Yeah, could be.
It has smokescreen written all over it for me. Because like I said, if draft day comes and the best player available falls to you and that's an edge rusher, that's who you take. But to seek out an edge rusher when those are positions that aren't necessarily of dire need sounds a little bit strange to me. Mm-hmm. It sounds to me like maybe the Titans are putting that out there to almost scare a team that's picking above them into taking the best edge rusher available, whether that's a Will Anderson or a Tyree Wilson from Texas Tech or a Lucas Van Ness from Iowa. Maybe there's a team that thinks, okay, well, you know, we don't want Tennessee to get this guy, so we're going to take him because Tennessee has said that they want an edge rusher. And then Mike Vrabel and Rand Carthon are out there saying, we weren't going to take him anyway, so we'll take the next best player that gets pushed down to us at 11. So to me, I'm not completely buying that that's a position that they are honing in on. I do buy that that's on the table. I think any position is on the table, quarterback included. But I don't buy that this is a position that they absolutely positively are seeking out.
Me either. But, hey, funnier things have happened.
Funny things happen.
when teams are on a clock and, you know, maybe the guy or the quarterback that they like is gone. So what do you do then? Do you get best player available on your board, or do you get player of need mm-hmm. on your board? Which way do you go?
Or both.
Yeah, he mm-hmm. could be the best player on the board and a player of need. I just don't think at 11, if they stay put at 11, that an edge rusher may be the best player on the board, but he's not a player of need for you because you went out and you got guys that can rush the passer. You re-signed Jeffrey Simmons, so he and Danico Autry makes everybody else's job a little bit easier. You got Harold Landry coming back, albeit he might not be the Harold Landry before the injury this year, but he's coming back. So you may look at that and say, listen, we got our front mm-hmm. led by Jeffrey Simmons, so we're good, you know. It would shock me if they drafted an edge rusher. It really would. But again, it could just be a smokescreen, and You know, they're trying to find a way to get you to draft the defensive guy. Maybe that quarterback slips a little bit more, and we're able to get him.
And crazy things happen on draft night. That we know for certain. 615-737-1025. We're right to your phones coming up next. Anything is on the table. The Texans possibly not taking a quarterback at 2. What you think the Titans will do or should do at 11, or maybe not 11. We'll get into our thoughts coming up next. It's Caroline Willie DeMays, 1025, 1063 The Game.
I think there's a lot of conflicting signals and information out there about what Houston is going to do at 2. And I think a lot of people have assumed it's just going to be a quarterback. And in the end, I'm just not convinced just yet that that's going to be the case. Now, I do think that we have Bryce Young slated to be the favorite, number one, Carolina. Then Houston's on the clock. And what does Houston do? And it becomes interesting if Houston decides to auction off that pick to somebody who wants to come up and trade for a quarterback at number 2, or whether Houston wants to go with a quarterback of its own, or whether Houston wants to go with one of the top defensive players. All I'm saying is I don't think it's a lock that Houston is going quarterback at 2. That's all I'm saying.
Not a lock that Houston is going quarterback at 2 per Adam Schefter. I don't buy it. I cannot buy that Houston's not taking a quarterback in this year's draft. But let's get your thoughts on it. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. If you have a thought, our phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Josh from Dixon texts in and says, do you think the Texans want to trade down and get more picks and take Hooker later? Maybe. I mean, that could be in the cards.
Yeah.
You know, pick up more picks, continue to build your team, get more cracks at getting, you know, potential franchise players for you. But I just look at it and say, if you are in a position – and you don't have to give anything up for it, and you're in a position to draft a quarterback with the caliber of Bryce Young or C.J. Stroud, you take it.
Yeah, you do, because you're still – because you still have the opportunity at 12 to get, say, a receiver if you want a receiver, or get another highly touted defensive player, whether it's Miles Murphy – you know, out of Clemson, or, you know, what was
Lucas Van Ness.
Yeah, Lucas Van Ness, mm-hmm. or Tyree Wilson, guys like that that are ranked really high in this year's draft. If you go out and get your quarterback with the second pick, but you say, well, we still need some players on defense, well, at the 12th pick, you can do that as well. Mm-hmm. You can get a defensive player, or you can get a receiver that you're going to need, because right now, the only guy that you have, you know, with any experience is the guy that you got here, Robert Woods. That's the only guy that you have with true experience on your roster, because you got rid of Brandon Cooks. He's now with someone else. So the only veteran guy you have with some skins on the wall is, you know, Robert Woods. So
I think we've seen it's not a guy that you can really rely on.
He's a veteran guy that can come in and be a leader in the receiving room. You're going to get some production, but not the production that you need. So you're going to have to go out and get a number one guy. He can be your number two, but you need a flat-out number one. So you can take the quarterback at 2 and still get another offensive player, or a guy to rush the passer at 12.
Another texter texts in and says something that I've talked about in the past, but not recently, the possibility of Trey Lance landing the Titans in a draft day deal.
I don't know if that's going to happen, because to me, who knows him better than anybody? Rand Carthon. And if that deal was going to happen, not to say that it's not, but if that deal was going to happen, I think we would have heard more about it. You know, considering where Rand came from, and he knows he helped scout Trey Lance. So if that was in the cards for the Tennessee Titans, like if that was one of our top priorities, we would have heard about this a long time ago.
And I'm not counting out the possibility that Trey Lance could maybe potentially end up in Tennessee someday. But if I'm San Francisco, I'm not quite ready to move off of Trey Lance just yet. it could get to the point because, you know, Trey Lance and Brock Purdy, they're both recovering from injury. Mm-hmm. They're both coming back. I think what San Francisco wants to do is just, okay, let's play Sam Darnold as long as we possibly need to. And then when both of them or either of them are ready to come back, then they battle it out for that starting job. Mm-hmm. And if Brock Purdy wins that job, I don't know how San Francisco can hold on to both of them, both Trey Lance and Brock Purdy. Not financially. Yeah. Financially, you can hold on to two quarterbacks on your rookie deal, but what's the point of sitting on two really solid quarterbacks, a former first-rounder and a player like Brock Purdy, not a first-rounder by any means, but mm-hmm. a good player? What's the point of holding on to both of them?
Mm-hmm.
So I think if I'm San Francisco, I'm waiting on it.
Uh-huh.
I'm not giving up my first-round pick this easily.
Oh, no. Uh-uh. Not at all. Because you got to understand Brock Purdy is coming back, what, from a elbow injury.
Yeah.
It's not like an ACL. Not like a foot injury. It's a elbow injury. That's like a pitcher coming back from Tommy John surgery. It's like
pretty important for
man,
what he has to
do. Man, we got to make sure that, you know, he comes back and he comes back ready to go. We can't just put all of our eggs in that one basket because this is just not no ordinary injury. This injury is significant that if it's not done right and a rehab is not done right, we could be set back even longer if indeed we choose to go with him as our primary quarterback.
Right. So that's why I think the 49ers are going to wait on Trey Lance. Mm-hmm. They're going to wait on Brock Purdy. They're going to let them battle it out. The best player wins the starting job, and I would say the one who didn't win the starting job probably does get dealt.
Yeah.
And if the Titans don't find their quarterback of the future, maybe Trey Lance is that guy because Rand Carthon knows what he's getting from him. But we've heard that the going rate, I believe it was Charles Robinson, mm-hmm. who said the going rate for Trey Lance probably would be a third-round pick, which sounds crazy mm-hmm. since San Francisco gave up three first-round picks to go get him. But also, why would anyone pay anything more for Trey Lance? You don't have much of a sample size from him. So I don't – as fun as I think that would be, and it would be great radio,
uh-huh.
and as much sense as it would make bringing Trey Lance in with Rand Carthon with his former with the 49ers organization, and Rand Carthon knows him so well, and I would probably assume that Rand Carthon was in the group of, yes, we're going to go all in on Trey Lance, because I don't think that's a move that you can make without being all in on Trey Lance. It's not going to happen this season.
No, not this season.
Not this year. One text in says, okay, say the Titans are staying at 11 on draft night. The Panthers take Bryce Young. The Texans take Will Anderson at 2. Do you think the Titans pick up the phone and try to get that third pick? And do you think that they would be getting Stroud or Richardson?
That's when the frenzy starts.
Arizona's phones yeah. are going to be ringing off the hook if that happens.
Yeah, and I think they, you know, you have to inquire about moving up to that third pick because you still have, you know, one of the two quarterbacks still left, C.J. Stroud or Bryce Young. So as a GM, as a head coach, you have to make the call to see what it would take to move up to that third spot.
Mm-hmm.
Not to say that they would, because they may be in a bidding war, and the price may just be too steep for them or too rich for them. But you got to call and say, hey, listen, what is it going to take to move up to this third spot? You have to. But knowing that you're not the only person calling.
And that's the thing, is if you wait until draft day, because you would say, okay, well, wait, see if a quarterback falls to 3, and if they do, go get him. That sounds really obvious and easy in theory, mm-hmm. but everybody else in the league is thinking that as well. You're not the only team that needs a quarterback in this year's draft or is looking at potentially trading up to get a quarterback in this year's draft. So if you do that, if you wait until draft day, understand the price might increase significantly. Mm-hmm. You're going to have to give up more on draft night if C.J. Stroud falls than you would if you maybe want to make that move today. And Arizona understands that as well.
Mm-hmm.
That might be why, or that might explain why Arizona, if they decided to wait until draft night to trade that third overall pick, that they're just waiting for the price to go up and up mm-hmm. and up. But I think about it like this, from Houston's perspective. If C.J. Stroud falls to 3, you know Arizona's phone is going to be ringing off the hook.
Yes.
Everyone is going to be interested to get them a piece of C.J. Stroud.
Mm-hmm.
How many people are picking up the phones to get Will Anderson?
I don't know. It's hard to sort of, you know, evaluate who would be or you know, speculate who would be willing to move up. Now, we know Stroud and Young, there would be people willing to move up.
For sure.
But how many people would be willing to move up to that third spot to get a Will Anderson? Is he a top three talent? If you think he's a top three talent, you may be the only person in that pool that's splashing around. Mm-hmm. So the price may not be steep. But if there's one or two other teams in that pool swimming around with you, then the price may go up.
See, that, I mean, that's why I think, because we know for certain there's going to be people willing to pick up the phone about Bryce Young and Bryce Young and C.J. Stroud, rather. Mm-hmm. Panthers have already picked up the phone for either a Bryce Young or a C.J. Stroud. So we know that for certain. We don't know for certain if anybody is just salivating at the mouth waiting for a Will Anderson. That's why I don't think Houston's going to do that. Because why would you take a player at that spot, at a very premier spot in the first round, that isn't as in high demand as a C.J. Stroud or a Bryce Young? Mm-hmm. You don't get anything in return
exactly.
for it. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Paul Duracell, Jeffrey Simmons' agent, will join us coming up next. We'll get all of his inside info on how that deal went down. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, we're out here at Pete and Terry's at Bridgestone Arena. Predators in action tonight against the Colorado Avalanche. It's 102.5, 106.3 The Game.